first an update on the number of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. According to state and local health agencies, there were more than 85,000 new positive cases yesterday. That's up 142% from 2 weeks earlier. The highly contagious Delta variant is causing big spikes in Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Florida. Here in Wisconsin, the Department of Health Services reported almost 1,400 positive cases today. That's above the 7-day average of a little over 800. But our next guest says that focusing on case counts and positive tests alone can be misleading, he says, because we're testing people we maybe shouldn't be. And he says that could steer our priorities in the wrong direction. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how COVID cases are being counted, who we're testing, and how often? Have you recently tested positive, if you're willing to share that information? Did you happen to be vaccinated and asymptomatic? Are you worried about the Delta variant and subsequent mutations that may be along the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Marty McCary is professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Public Health, and Business. He's also chief medical advisor to Sesame Care and author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you again.
You co-wrote a piece in the Washington Post focusing on one group in particular when it comes to testing, people who are vaccinated and asymptomatic, no COVID symptoms. Why do you worry about over-testing them?
Well, the PCR tests, which are increasingly being used over the standard antigen tests, those are so sensitive that you can pick up one dead virus particle in your nose. It goes through 30 cycles of the test to look for the machine, to look for the virus. And the reality is, rather than talk about positive tests, we should be talking about viral load. And in order to have a good measuring stick of where we stand with the epidemic, we should be talking about positive tests in non-immune people. And that's the piece that we have not had. And the best measuring stick of this pandemic is a statistic the CDC does not collect or report, and that is new daily hospitalizations for COVID sickness, not incidental positive COVID findings when somebody comes in for a broken arm.
If I'm vaccinated, which I am, and I have this positive test, as you say, maybe it's just one dead COVID-causing virus cell, I guess the worry would be I would want to know if there's any risk of me giving the illness to, you know, that kid who's under 12, can't get vaccinated, the person with the suppressed immune condition, even if they are vaccinated. How low is the worry if I'm that vaccinated, asymptomatic person?
Well, I think it's reasonable, except we would never think like that for any other seasonal virus that causes the common cold, right? Would you say I could have respiratory syncytial virus because I have the sniffles? I'm going to get tested because my kid could get it. And by the way, more kids die of RSV, which causes the common cold, than of COVID. So what's happening is we're starting to see a stigmatization of COVID over other health risks out there. You know, I would love if people recognize the risk of alcohol, which kills 200 to 300 people a day. So there's nothing wrong with being vigilant and careful. But the reality is, if you're immune and you're around other people that are immune, there's really no risk to those people beyond mild symptoms. And if you're around kids who are healthy, we know there's may not be more than 5 documented healthy kids who have ever died of COVID this entire pandemic. So we just have to put that context in place.
With the testing resources we have available, which is pretty good compared to where we were at one point, where would you want to see the focus go?
You know, it is ironic that we're talking about over-testing when it's been an under-testing problem for so long. And we're not suggesting that we should not be testing people who are non-immune or around high-risk people. We should, but we should talk about viral load, and we should be putting all of our energy into encouraging the non-immune to get vaccinated. And I'm talking about the 10 to 20% of adults in America who don't have vaccinated immunity and they don't have natural immunity. And by talking about masking kids in schools who are already vaccinated, requiring them to wear masks anyway, and vaccine mandates, we're losing the forest from the trees here. All of our energy should be on the non-immune. And that means recognizing natural immunity from prior infection, something our public health officials have not done. And the data are coming in now, and it's very clear. It's been 15 months. It works. It's effective, and it's going strong.
We are talking to Dr. Marty McCary, author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It, looking at COVID-19 testing. He says we're testing people and we don't really need to test so much. People are immunized and don't have symptoms. You could join in at 800-642-1233 with your thoughts and questions. Dr. McCary, we're seeing, as I mentioned in the intro there, those positive cases going up, hospitalizations going up in a lot of states, death count. Not a little bit, not so much. Are those trends being driven by over-testing of the wrong people, or is there something real going on here with the Delta variant hitting that non-immune population?
Well, the virus is becoming endemic. That is, it's becoming ubiquitous. And if it lives in the nose of somebody who's immune, then we just need to think about who they're around who are susceptible. And we're not worried about healthy kids. We never have been. We're worried about an adult with risk factors who is not immune, or maybe the rare kid with leukemia or on chemo who is non-immune. So that's where we should be putting our energy. By the way, the CDC itself said people who are vaccinated don't need to be tested. That was actually something they said, and they recently reversed it because of Delta. And I think we're just trying to figure out Delta right now. So Delta is changing the game a little bit. But it did point to the fact that the CDC clearly took a position we were over-testing some people.
How much does Delta change things? Because we've seen, you know, a lot of reporting on what people are calling breakthrough cases for people who are vaccinated. Okay. But it seems like the risk, as you've been saying all along, is still, as it's always been, way higher for unvaccinated people, and vaccination, or as you say, natural immunity, still provides a lot of protection, even from the Delta variant. Has that equation hasn't changed that much, has it?
That's true. That's correct. Now, we have downgraded COVID-19 to a mild seasonal virus. There are four other coronaviruses that we don't talk about that have been around for decades, that come season to season each year. And collectively, those four coronaviruses cause 25% of the cases of the common cold each winter. This COVID-19 will become the fifth seasonal coronavirus that will circulate for decades to come. And it's becoming endemic. So downgrading COVID to a mild seasonal virus is not something right now that we should be sounding the alarm about. It's something where we should say, look, there's a small percentage of the population still vulnerable who have no immunity.
When you say downgraded, you mean for people who have immunity from vaccination or prior infection? Do I have that right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Christopher is with us in Green Bay. Christopher, hi.
Hi. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up the lack of emphasis lately on the death counts in the state of Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin's a population of over 5 million people, but if I go to the DHS website and see our 7-day average of COVID-related deaths, we're looking at one per day. It's at the absolute floor. So I just wanted to call and say I agree with you. There's been a lot of emphasis on the number of cases lately, but not so much on the declining death counts in the state. Thanks.
Christopher, thanks a lot for the call. And he's right, Dr. McCary, our death counts are in the one-digit range, a big improvement from, say, late last year. Some increases, though, in the hardest-hit states. Again, not like the nightmare scenario of October, but what do you think of what he had to say about more focus on the serious cases and deaths?
Well, that's right. And Wisconsin has reported no deaths the last, I think, 4 days. The 7-day moving average has gone from 4 to 7. Now, you can report a number going from 4 to 7 as a 70% increase, or you can say it's gone from 4 to 7. And what we're seeing are headlines now that are stirring a lot of panic and fear. And I think what's happening in the general public is they're conflating two separate things happening in America. We have two entirely different things. One is breakthrough cases, which are not things we should be worried about. Those are very mild or asymptomatic. And the other is real infections ripping through that 10 to 20% of adults with no immunity. Those are entirely different things. and it's the people without immunity who are getting it and those with risk factors that are driving those hospitalizations and the bump right now in cases in the hospital.
We're talking about how we test for COVID-19. Our guest in a recent piece wrote that we're testing too many vaccinated people who have no symptoms. He says that's inflating the case count and maybe sending us the wrong direction as we try to tackle the biggest problem, he says, the remaining unvaccinated, unimmune population. Dr. Marty McCary is with us, professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Public Health and Business. And you can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls now. Nancy is with us in Arkdale. Nancy, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Nancy?
The testing that we're doing. I think I'm fully vaccinated. I was vaccinated, in February and March. For the past week and a half, I have been pushing off different things that have been bothering my health. I have this headache. I can't shake. Oh, that's the air quality. I have aches all over me. Well, maybe that's I did something, too strenuous. I happened to volunteer for the Meals on Wheels program and for the local food pantry. So I'm dealing with susceptible people. I wear a mask, but I don't know what their status is. Some of these volunteers are in their mid to late 70s, early 80s, and one is a long hauler already, but she still volunteers. I feel it's my personal responsibility to be tested to make sure that I am not spreading something that no one wants to get. As far as your doctor there kind of downgrading this to a seasonal flu, I think that's part of the problem that is plaguing people, and it's being allowed to be used as a big excuse that, no, it's just like the flu.
Nancy, I gotcha. So a couple points there, Dr. McCary. First of all, she's vaccinated, but she feels maybe symptoms. She works with vulnerable populations. What do you think of getting the test in that instance?
I think if you're working with vulnerable populations who don't have immunity, I think it's good to be tested frequently. And if anybody wants to wear a mask for any reason, be it scientific or it just makes them feel better, they should. But the issue is that right now, if you test 100 people at any outdoor stadium, 10 to 15 are going to test positive, and it's not what we call, not what we think of when we think of a positive COVID test from last year, which was really scary because you had so many, everyone was susceptible before vaccination. Right now, we have positive tests that represent the colonization of a virus. In other words, it's just sitting in the nose. It may pose minimal or no risk of transmission and minimal or no risk to the person hosting it. So we're seeing virus particles colonized, and we just have to recognize that if we're going to test like crazy, you're going to see a lot of positives, and we should not react the same. And no one reacted more inappropriately, in my opinion, than the U.S. Olympic Committee. Here you had young, healthy athletes whose risk of dying of COVID is zero. These are the youngest, low-risk, healthiest people in the world. And they were disqualified from competing with no symptoms and being fully vaccinated. That is what I call over-testing. You're talking about an outdoor activity. That is where we can go too far with testing people who already have immunity.
And her concern that, talking about downgrading the disease to a flu-like thing, and as you mentioned earlier, if you're vaccinated or naturally immune, she's worried that that discourages people, that unvaccinated group that you're worried about, Dr. McCary, from getting vaccines. What would you say to her?
In the past, comparisons of COVID and the flu were inappropriate. And if you go back and see, what I've done over the last year and a half, it's been mostly sounding the alarm, getting people to take COVID seriously, highly critical of public health officials before the pandemic hit that they were not taking it seriously. And, I called for lockdowns and wrote extensively how this is not the flu when people were downplaying it. But now things are different. Now we've got 80 to 90% of adults with immunity, and 95% of seniors with some form of immunity. So for them, it is downgraded to a seasonal flu, and that's how it's going to be for years to come. I don't like it. I'd rather it be eradicated, but it's a reality. And we've got to recognize now that we've got a stigma from our perspective, and it's legitimate. It's from having been burned in the death toll, but there's a stigma now around a positive COVID test, and we've got to put things in context. And we see this in medicine all the time. We've seen it with HIV. We see it with heroin and opioids. We see it with breast cancer and pancreas cancer, which result in the same number of deaths each year, but yet 100 times more funding goes to breast cancer. So we've got to put things in context.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Jeff in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Well, this is refreshing to hear a medical professional speak with such common sense. I got to tell you, I've debated myself whether it was an issue of personal responsibility or a public crisis. And I tend to side with the individual responsibility because HIPAA laws protect our privacy. But my question is this: shouldn't we be testing people for antibodies instead of testing for the virus?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, it's a good point. And we should. The problem is antibody tests, to get a really good test, it's a blood draw, whereas the COVID test is a swab. There are finger stick antibody tests now. They're not as sensitive, but it does bring up a good point. And I think the real question we have is, how many people in the population have antibodies? And the result is very high. West Virginia just started doing this, by the way. They started saying, we're going to measure antibody levels in the population.
Jeff, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Dr. Marty McCary from the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Public Health and Business, looking at COVID testing, what he says needs to change, maybe not so much reason to frequently test people who are vaccinated and don't have symptoms. Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Dr. McCary, how much of this kind of testing are we doing? I'm just kind of testing everybody and maybe catching those positive tests that aren't particularly scary.
We're doing about 1 billion tests a week right now. And remember, a lot of those are home tests, and we're getting there's probably about 1 million positive cases a day. Most of those are not being captured. They're being done with home testing units. So we're adding to population immunity very quickly, which is why Delta is projected to peak in the end of August, early September, and then have a rapid decline. Now, northern parts of the United States, like Wisconsin, could see a bump among the non-immune, and that's about 10 to 20% of adults, later on in the fall. It depends on a lot of factors, but it'll probably be a more stretched and prolonged bump. We always knew the remaining unvaccinated, non-immune, were going to get COVID, but Delta made that rip through a lot faster than projected.
What do you want to see when it comes to public health outreach efforts for that group of people who has no immunity at all right now? They remain vulnerable to COVID. How do we get the word out? How do we get the shots out?
Well, we doctors have a lot of experience with people who don't want to do things that we ask them to do in the name of their own safety and health. And I think from my experience at the bedside, you win more bees with honey than fire. And I think the demonization of these people, the blaming them, even though they pose really no risk to those who have immunity and are vaccinated, but the sort of, intolerance that we've seen, we've even seen some leaders say that they should be tested frequently at their own expense until they get vaccinated. And that is unethical. We have never and should never use any medical intervention as a punishment to coax somebody to do something. We got to recognize natural immunity. That way we can focus on those that don't have it. And the FDA has got to issue full approval. It's an American disgrace that they have not done so. And it's not because they're waiting on safety data. For the love of humanity, 200 million Americans have gotten this vaccine. The safety profile is impeccable. The reason the FDA has not issued full approval is they're waiting on something called stability testing, which tells them how long to prolong the expiration date on the vaccine. We don't need that information now. That's an old legacy bureaucratic process. Shelf that for now and instead issue the full strength of the FDA seal on the vaccine. That'll help with vaccine hesitancy.
Time for one more caller. Mike is with us in Minocqua. Mike, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about, Mike?
Well, I continually hear this number. The doctor's quoting a number. He's asserting, making a truth claim. So far, he hasn't documented it. He's combining, quote-unquote, natural immunity, I assume from those people who've had the virus, with those people that have been fully vaccinated, and he's coming up with a figure of 80 to 90%.
Now, gotcha. Mike, we just have a minute or so left. Can you make the case to Mike that that is a good number, the vaccinated plus the unvaccinated who have some form of natural immunity?
Yeah, I think it's a very legitimate question. So according to the CDC, 70% of adults have been vaccinated. And then the question is, of the unvaccinated, how many have natural immunity? Seroprevalence studies suggest it was at least 38% in California way back in February, and there's been a lot since then. I wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal in a piece titled The Power of Natural Immunity, where I document not only the effectiveness of it, but the prevalence of it. And by the way, the type of person that's not vaccinated is also the type of person to more likely have had the infection. So we think it's higher in the unvaccinated for them to have natural immunity. And a study out of Israel just affirmed that natural immunity may be better than vaccinated immunity. It found that it was 6.7 times better. Natural immunity is going strong and it works.
Thanks for the call, Mike. And Dr. McCary, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Marty McCary, professor of the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Public Health and Business. We talked to him about why he says America is testing too many vaccinated people who don't have COVID-19 symptoms. And that could be steering us in the wrong direction.